thought on the way here this morning that you were about to do one of the most dangerous things you can do in your life. Come to hear God's word. And I wonder if you think this way, if you're ready not to listen this morning, or if you're not ready to listen, believing that God's word can change you this morning, then you might as well close your Bible and go home. Because without actually listening and acting upon what you hear, it really is a dangerous thing to do. Many people have heard Jesus' teaching so far in Mark's Gospel. Lots of them have misunderstood. Some of them have just refused to acknowledge him at all. And others have kind of just let the teaching wash over them. Jesus now comes to teach about what it looks like to listen to his word. He comes to speak about the kingdom of God again. And he's mobbed by a large crowd, so much so that he has to leave the beach, get into a boat and go out a bit onto the lake and sit in it so then he can speak to everybody because they're pressing in around him. The first parable then that Jesus tells of the four in the section that we've had read to us already is that parable of the farmer who goes out to sow his seed. He goes out and he tosses it. Whoops, the microphone. He tosses his seed out over the land that's in front of him and it falls on various types of ground. We'll come to look at the types of ground in a minute. But you'll notice that the words sow and seed and word and soil come up again and again and again in this parable and they're key. They're really important to it. Now seed and word, Jesus says the seed is the word of God. Now, slight pause there. What is this word of God? Well, it seems that the word of God here is the message of God's kingdom. And the message of God's kingdom is about a person. It's about the person of Jesus. It's about him and his work. And that makes sense because Jesus is God's word to us in a person. We see him and we see the Son of God. We see what God is like. In Jesus, we see God speak. And then there are four types of soil, then, aren't there? It's four types of ground that this seed lands on. Hard ground or a path. Shallow soil that has rocks in it. A place where thorns and thistles grow up alongside any seeds. And then a place where there is good soil in which this plant grows and grows well. And the soil we see represents the hearts of people who hear the word of God. And so the results of what happens to the seed depend on the kind of soil the seed lands in. But interestingly, there is always something that happens to the seed. There is always something that happens to it. God's word never returns to him, in a sense, empty-handed. And although three of the four soils don't produce anything lasting, the fourth one gives a massive return. Look down at verse 8 again. 30, 60, some 100 times what was sown. We then get another parable about a seed in verse 26. Verse 26 tells us that the growth of God's kingdom through the word is slow and invisible. Now, Annie has recently been growing a sunflower seed in our house. For ages it looked like there was nothing there. It was in this little plastic cup and there was nothing for days and weeks. Every morning we checked when we came down for breakfast and there was nothing there. But one day a tiny little green shoot appears above the top of the soil. And then it's a little bit more and now it looks like a stem. And then a leaf sprouts off the stem. And now it's about 8 inches tall and it's outside in a plant pot. Now Annie may have watered the seed, or we may have watered the seed on Annie's behalf, but we can't make that seed grow. We can't kind of manipulate it or change it. And here in 26 to 29, this second parable about seeds, we see that the kingdom will grow, but it won't always be spectacular or instant. Sometimes it will be slow and steady, but there most definitely will be a harvest at the end that is gathered in, verse 29. Similarly then, the mustard seed in verse 30 to 34, shows that the kingdom might start off small, this tiny little seed, but eventually it grows into something huge, a large tree or shrub, where even birds will come and nest. Now, very quickly to say, the birds is an image that's picked up from an Old Testament prophet called Ezekiel, where God speaks to the people and says, actually, there is going to be a new kingdom. I'm going to plant a new stem, and it's going to grow, and people from all of the nations, represented by the birds, will come and nest in this tree. And I haven't forgotten about the other parable. If you skip back again, verse 21 to 25, the lamp conveys that light will shine out when this kingdom is revealed. You see, the seed will produce fruit and the lamp produces light. Now, for those who were listening to this being read for the first time, or maybe the person reading it themselves, when Mark sent this gospel, they were a young church, they were facing difficulties, they were a big mixture of people. And it might have been hard for them to see, well, how is this kingdom going to grow when the authorities around us are so set against it? They might have been tempted to despair, to think, we've believed this, but it doesn't look like it's going to go any further. I think one of the things Mark is wanting to tell those believers as he writes this is, trust God with the growth of his kingdom. Trust God with it. You might not be able to see it all now happening, but it is growing, and it will continue to grow. As the word goes out, it will bear fruit. So they can be sure that their faith is not in vain. But it also gives them a great encouragement that actually some of the members of that church in Rome were examples of the birds who came to nest in the tree. Well, fast forward 2,000 years to now, well, are we tempted to look around maybe the world and look and be despairing because the church in the UK looks small and weak maybe? We might be aware that Yorkshire is a region with the lowest kind of church attendance, or kind of church attendance at churches that teach the Bible in the UK. And we might look around Doncaster and think, well, is it really worth us keeping going and meeting? It's hard work. Well, actually, as we read this part of Mark, the call to us is, though your heart might be weary, you might be looking around and feeling despair, remember it's God who brings a harvest. We can't manipulate that seed. We can't change it. We can't make it more fruitful. We can't make people kind of hear it and change what they believe as they hear it. But we can make sure that message goes out, that word is spread, and we can introduce people to the person of Jesus and trust, as this parable or these parables teach, that God will take that word and he will bring a harvest. He will bring some fruit. Interestingly as well, the farmer, when he goes out, he just scatters the seed, doesn't he? He does it totally without prejudice or without favouritism. Maybe that too is then a warning for us when we look around and think, oh, there are just some people who I know who I don't think in, you know, a month of Sundays, in a million years, will come and trust Jesus because I think their heart is hard. The point is, you don't know. You can't make that call. You might look around and think, okay, it's my friend who has been let down by the church so many times in the past, they're never going to come and hear it again. It might be the person who in your workplace is just really anti anything you do and say because they know that you are a Christian. It might be somebody you know who is a member of, you know, another world religion, who you think, well, you know, they seem to know their religion better than I know sometimes my Bible and my Lord Jesus. Or maybe it's even, you know, a homeless guy you meet on the street who, if you speak to him, you're just not sure because he's so drunk whether he'll remember anything you're ever going to say to him. This tells us to remember, it isn't your job to predict what you think the seed might do. You need to trust that God, through his word, will bring the growth of his kingdom. He will bring that fruit. And just as an example of this, a close friend of mine from university said she spent 3 years speaking to one of her housemates about Jesus. And this housemate, for the whole of the time we were at uni, seemed to not change her mind on anything to do with Jesus. But then 3 or 4 years after graduating, my friend got a phone call out of the blue from this girl to say that she'd come to trust in Jesus through hearing the gospel at a church that she'd gone to, kind of just out of the blue. An example there of just that you don't know when or what might happen when the word of God goes out to people, but you can trust that God will grow his kingdom, as these parables teach us. So we now have to trust God with the growth of his kingdom through his word, because it is God who is speaking. As Matt helpfully said in his prayer, it is God who speaks when we come to his words. So in a sense, you're listening to my, you know, dulcet northeast tones from England. But hopefully as I'm lifting God's word and seeking to speak it faithfully, it's God who is speaking to you to change your hearts. So the second thing that comes out from these passages, I think, and the thing that I really want us to go away thinking about is how we listen. So the second point is listen up. Listen up. Jesus commands people to listen in verse 3. In verses 9 and 23, he also says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Remember who he's speaking to as well here, Jesus. Look back down, he's speaking to a large crowd gathered. He isn't just speaking to people who don't like him, he's speaking to his disciples and followers as well. There is a big mixture of people who he is speaking to, and everything in between those things. But then suddenly Jesus seems to say something that is really strange. He basically says, well, in verses 10 to 12, when he was alone with the 12 and the others around him, they asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And you go, hold on a minute, what does that mean? What is Jesus saying? Is he saying that really he doesn't want people to hear what he's saying and come to be forgiven? Because that sounds like almost what he's saying there. Well, actually, as you look at it, the secret of the kingdom has been given to those who come and ask him questions. Jesus is not being unfair. What he's saying is, I'm telling you stories so that you will hear, think about what I'm saying, and want to come to ask more questions. The onus is on you to find out more, in many senses. And notice, not everyone comes to find him. It's just a small group of people who hear what Jesus says and come and ask him a little bit about it. And the quote from Isaiah that, you know, you might think is just randomly thrown in there actually makes perfect sense in the flow of what Jesus is saying, because that quote comes from Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is told by God to go and preach to the people, but that they won't listen or respond to what he says. Why? Because already in Isaiah's book, you've got chapters 1 to 5, where God has laid out clearly for Isaiah that the people of that time have refused to believe what God has told them. They've refused to come to God and listen. And as a result, they face God's judgment. And so the message that is given to Isaiah, these two verses, is to show him that his work's going to be hard and there's going to be little fruit. Jesus therefore speaks in parables, not because he doesn't want people to turn and be forgiven, but it is as a warning, as a sign that they are in danger of doing exactly what the prophecy in Isaiah says: seeing but not perceiving, hearing but not understanding, if they're not ready to listen and respond to what Jesus says. And so the four soils that then Jesus gives are four kinds of reaction to his word. And this parable then is key to everything else, because it's how we respond to the word of God. Jesus is saying that actually the message of these four soils — it could be called the parable of the soils rather than the parable of the sower in many ways — these four soils, he says, are for every time you hear the word of God. Not just a one-off time, but this is every time you hear the word of God. What will your response be? The first then is hard ground, he says. And this is a heart that is not really bothered. Satan then takes away the opportunity for the word to be kind of sink into the ground, because it's hard. We might quite easily look at Mark's gospel and think, oh, well, that's the teachers of the law. They're the hard ground. They didn't really want to listen. They were blind to the person in front of them, Jesus, who was speaking to them so often. But actually, I wonder if often we are not too dissimilar from those leaders. We don't stand up and outright reject Jesus in our thinking, maybe. But maybe we're just a bit indifferent to what he's saying to us. We think we've got Jesus nicely boxed up in a little package. We think we know exactly what he's all about. But actually, Jesus is so much bigger than we can imagine or understand, that every time we hear his words, we should be learning something more about him. But in this case, the word can't do the work of bearing any fruit and growing, because actually the hearer thinks, well, I can't be bothered to understand. I'm not sure it's really relevant. Back to the sunflower seed illustration, that means actually when you put that in a pot, you're supposed to break up the soil so that the seed goes in. It's no good, you know, having this little pot of kind of dry soil, sticking the seed on top and hoping it's going to work, is it? There needs to be some cultivating of the soil, breaking it up so that it's ready to receive. And so maybe for us that looks like being encouraging one another to do that, to have a heart that is ready to listen. Maybe we need to think about when we come to hear God's word on a Sunday that it isn't the same as watching a mind-numbing piece of television. Well, hopefully it's slightly more interesting and exciting. But we're so used to in our society listening just for things to either give us a bit of information or something to help us switch our brains off, that actually we can often approach God's word in the same way. The way we listen to it is a way, oh well, it's just something for me nicely to sit and relax to. Well, no, this tells us actually we need to be ready to listen. We need to be focusing on listening. We need to have, we need to fight the apathy and maybe fight the routine of church just being a tick box maybe that we go to. Well, the second seed then is rocky ground. The word is heard, and it's even received with joy in verse 16. Now, that might surprise you. Well, it doesn't go on to bear any fruit, but it seems to be received with joy. What's that all about? You know, we see there's no root, so ultimately it dies off, and it doesn't get to produce any fruit at the end. Think about the sunflower seed again, to keep the illustration going as we go through. You know, we've had to move it out of that little plastic cup because ultimately you're not going to get any root in there. There's not enough soil. It isn't going to keep growing. So you move it to a bigger pot and then you let it grow and the roots go down and it begins to flourish. This might be, let's think of an example of what this might look like to hear the word with joy, but for it to then die off because there is no root. Maybe you hear about just the amazing nature of Jesus' forgiveness. That actually he is ready and willing to forgive all of your sins. And you think, wow, that's amazing. How exciting that Jesus is ready to forgive my sins. But then actually, you then get home and you remember that somebody, you know, who you would have called a friend really hurt you last week. And you decide, actually, no, I can't really forgive them. There's the place where it's disconnected. You've received this message with joy that you're forgiven, but it hasn't made any difference to your life. You still hold some kind of grudge against this person who has hurt you. Now, the first step I'm not saying in kind of reversing that is suddenly to be best mates with this person who has hurt you. But it's to keep reminding yourself of what Jesus has done for you. And it's praying then that God's Spirit would change you and help you to show the same love for that person that Jesus has shown for you. And it's gradual, and it might be baby steps at a time, but it's listening to that word and being willing to change as a result. The third ground then is where thorns and thistles grow. The pleasures and troubles of this world muscle in and they choke away, again, a joyful reception of the word. Again, with that sunflower plant, how can you help a plant not to basically succumb to the weather outside, particularly our weather this year that's gone from mild to cold to windy to rainy to stormy? Well, it might involve sticking a bamboo cane in and tying the sunflower seed to it, so that when the gale force winds come, it doesn't snap it and take it away. Or it might be rooting out those other things that would take away the nutrients in the soil that the sunflower seed needs. What might that look like then practically for us if we are hearing the word with joy, but the danger is that there will be other things that will take away our attention and make us leave that word of God behind? It might be that you hear the great message about God's plan for marriage and for sex and get really excited about that vision that God gives in his words. But then actually the attraction of pornography comes back to you and takes away your desire for God for an instant pleasure of something else. Well, actually, knowing you're weak in that area means you need help. You need help to fight against that. It might be that you need to keep reminding yourself of God's word. It might be that you need someone with you to share and to pray with you about the difficulties that you have, to help you root out those weeds so that your heart will be good soil. Or maybe it's more just a stormy time in life comes along, when actually the joy of the gospel and knowing Jesus and having friends and family around you who also know and love Jesus are going to be that bamboo cane that help you to stay firm as a plant, to grow and produce fruit from the word that you hear, so that you can apply it to those difficult times that you might face. Well, that leaves us with a final soil, which is good soil. And it goes on to bear great fruit, lots of fruit. Question is then, how can we practically cultivate the soil of our hearts so that we're ready to receive the word and go on to bear fruit? Now, like I said at the beginning, or kind of the beginning of this point, this is for every time you hear the word of God, not just once a year or the first time you hear it, but every time you hear the word of God. Now, if you don't yet know Jesus and trust him, the question is, which kind of soil do you want to be like? When you hear the word of God preached, when you hear the good news about Jesus and how great he is, the things that he does, what we hear about him, that he is God's son, will you then maybe ask some further questions about him? Get to know a little bit more about what he says and what he has done. Will you maybe come and ask the person who's spoken from the front to make clear what it is they're teaching about Jesus if you've got questions about it? Will you do something with what you've heard about him? What will your response be to him? It may be that actually you've heard enough about Jesus now and you do want to come and trust him. Well, that in many senses is what being good soil, I believe, would look like. If you're still yet to come and trust Jesus for yourself. All of us, whoever we are, can actually pray that God would speak to us each time we come to his word. Whether that's us reading it on our own, whether it's when we gather in a group with other people, whether it's when we sit here on a Sunday morning, whenever it is that we hear God's word, we can pray that God would teach us from it, that he would speak to us from it. Because He wants to bear that fruit in our lives. He wants us, each time we come to the word, to be that good soil that bears fruit. What might it look like today? Here's a few little practical examples, and hopefully one of them might be maybe inspiring to you. The first thing is obviously to have your Bible open when you sit there. No good having it shut because you can't really follow what I'm saying, and you're not really sure that what I'm saying is what's written in there. Maybe follow along and take notes. Now, not everybody likes to take notes because some people like to just be able to sit and look and concentrate on the person speaking, and taking notes is a distraction. But for some of you, taking notes might be a really good way to be able to go back and think, right, what was said? How is this going to make a difference in my life this week? Maybe, if you're not going to take notes and you hear it and you think, right, I want to think a bit further through what this might look like, come and speak to the speaker. Or speak to the friend who sits next to you. That's part of the reason that there'll be two questions appear on here when I come to finish. And so that you can sit to the person next to you and say, right, what will this look like? Can we think about maybe one thing that this might change in me or in you this week? It might be that actually you learn best by talking to other people. in a more in-depth discussion. Why not come along to a gospel group on Tuesday or a Thursday evening? Because we're going to look this week at this passage and think further about maybe where these things, where the rubber hits the road in these things in our lives. Maybe it's you want to go away and think about it yourself further in the week, but ask a friend to give you a call in a couple of weeks' time, or to arrange to meet up with coffee for them. Coffee with them, sorry, not for them. Well, you can buy them coffee, that's fine. But you maybe want to go and have coffee with them and sit and discuss it further later, after you've had a bit of time for it to think and settle into your mind. Or maybe, if you can bear hearing my northeast tones again, why not listen to the sermon again during the week to remind yourself of what was said and think about, right, how has this made a difference to my last 3 or 4 days? Another way that we can help ourselves to listen well, to seek to bear fruit, for our hearts to be good soil, is simply, which is this going to sound like a catchphrasey phrase, but I'll try and explain what it means, is to saturate ourselves with the Bible. You know, not so just so that you know lots of verses and can quote them off the top of your head, or just so you know facts about what is said in it, or just so you can say, well, I know kind of these big kind of doctrine terms. You know, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law here could recite the Bible better than anybody else, the Old Testament. They could reel it off by rote. Probably backwards as well, if you really wanted them to. But actually, saturate yourself with the Bible, look at it and keep learning from it, not so that you know facts, but so that you come to know the person who is spoken of in it, Jesus. And read it so that it is always to the end that you are made more like Jesus. So that is the desire of your heart. Because actually, our Bible knowledge should always lead to that end, to us being made more like Jesus. And if you don't learn by sitting and reading very well, or your eyes get tired very easily when you read, why not get the Bible on an audio CD? There's lots of them out there. There's even ones now in English accents rather than American ones, if you don't like listening to the American accent. You could listen to that in the car or in the house. If that's an easier way for you to learn and take things in, why not have a look at getting hold of one of those? Or if you like it when somebody else explains things to you along with reading the Bible, find out some good Christian books that explain the Bible and read those. Or maybe listen to some good sermons and take in what they say. Do you see how all these things actually, in lots of the ways that we seek to make our hearts good soil, or we can seek to make our hearts good soil, they actually draw us together as family in church, because we do them with each other. We can help one another. We can talk to one another, ask one another questions. We can, if we're not sure quite how to do that, maybe we can invite somebody else to ask us questions, to say, actually, would you mind giving me a call during the week to ask me how Sunday has made a difference in my life, or how my reading of the Bible during the week has made a difference in my life, or something like that. But also, none of this is to say that, you know, you've got to tick all these things off again to do. Right, well, I've got to make sure I read it again during the week, or I've got to make sure I turn up to a gospel group on Tuesday or Thursday night. Because actually, that's again back to doing it for the sake of doing it, not to learn more about Jesus and to grow in understanding of him. And remember that when you've heard the word and it hasn't made a difference to your life, and you're really aware that something that was said struck you on the Sunday, but then you went away and did exactly the opposite during the week, remember that there is always grace when we mess up. There is always another opportunity to hear the word and be changed by it. This Jesus who speaks this word is the same Jesus who says, there is forgiveness on offer in me if you will come and trust me. And actually, what it looks like to be in the kingdom right back at the beginning in Mark chapter 1 is to what? Repent and believe the good news. And so actually, that's an ongoing thing. Whether you do it for the first time when you come and trust Jesus, or whether you do it week by week as you live out the Christian life, Jesus is always there, ready with arms open to hear and forgive you. So as you go into this week then, expect God to speak and trust God by asking him to bring his word to fruit in your life and the lives of the others who sit around you and other Christians maybe who you know elsewhere. And work out what are the best ways maybe for you to learn and to put things into practice. you're not sure what your learning style is, maybe speak to one of the teachers that were here and they can tell you the different types of learning styles that there are. Figure out which one is best for you and try and put some of that into practice as well, so that the seed of God's word will grow and bear fruit in your life.